Hey y'all, so the other day I posted this quote from out of my book Silent Shame, and if you haven't bought the book, go on Amazon and get it today so that you can continue to follow along with me throughout this month and as we continue it into the month of May. And so in my book I talk about how condemnation was a stronghold that kept me bound and ineffective. And when you begin to study this word condemnation, if you go to Strong's Concordance, the Greek word for condemnation is katakrima. And I probably butchered that, but it is what it is. I am not Greek, or I've never been to Greece. I don't know nothing about it. So katakrima, whatever you want to call it. Either way, this Greek word, it means a damnatory sentence. And though I was serving, right, and doing many things right, what I came to realize is that I wasn't fully operating in my full potential and being as useful as I could have been because I was bound. I wasn't operating in my divine authority because I was holding back. I was fearful. Why? So what did that lead to? Not why. Because I was so fearful, because I was holding back, because I was bound, right? It caused me to continue making decisions out of fear, out of a lack of confidence, and not make decisions out of faith, right? So when we go back to this word condemnation, it means damnatory sentence. And then when you begin to look at the synonyms, you see words like criticism, disapproval, reproof, accusation, blame, judgment, right? And we're going to talk about this word accusation later, because one of the things that I found out was I didn't have to be held back by fear and condemnation. And neither do you, sis. Why? Because Jesus Christ rose from the grave to set us free from every damnatory sentence of our past. Okay. And we talked about the revelation that you have when you understand the blood, the power of the blood, that the blood, it too has a voice, right? When you understand the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ, you can now understand that you don't have to be held back by fear and condemnation, right? So every generational curse, every chain that's holding you bound, it can be broken. It can be destroyed. Why? Because in Christ, we are set free from those things. Now, there's other things that you have to do, but just as a quick understanding, like, there's freedom is available, sis. It's available. And so when you are in Christ, rejection must go. Condemnation no longer has a claim over you. In Christ, the weight of the world can no longer lord over you. And when you know this, you have to make a decision. And it's so powerful because we talk about free will. We talk about the ability to choose between two options, between two courses of action. We talk about this ability to choose, right? And in Christ, we have to make a decision every single day. And you can choose surrender to God, which leads to a life of victory, or you can choose to surrender to your flesh and experience a life of defeat. For me, I just knew I had to surrender to Christ. And surrendering to Christ, although it's very simple, it's a very difficult decision, because you have to realize that you have a flesh nature that is constantly warring with the spirit within you. Right? And so I want to talk to y'all really quickly about this story, because it's a story about a woman in the Bible, and I found myself like this woman, like the woman caught in the act of adultery. And so I want to read John chapter 8, verses 3 to 11 really quickly. And I'm going to just read the, don't want to read the NIV. I'm an NKJV girl. But let's read the NIV, because I don't know where my listeners are. So in John chapter 8, verses 3 to 11, the NIV, It says, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group, and they said to Jesus, teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? In verse 6, it says, they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. And it says, but Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. In verse 7, it says, when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. In verse 8, it says, again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. In verse 9, it says, at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. In verse 10, it says, Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? Verse 11, it says, she responded to Jesus and she said, no one, sir. And he responds to her and he says, neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin. All right. And so I love this story in the Bible about this woman who was caught in the act. She couldn't even keep it secret. She was caught in the act of adultery. Right. But she had a similar choice to make. And I love how it also paints this beautiful picture of Jesus's character and his heart towards us. Right. So these scribes and these Pharisees, they brought this woman to Jesus and they're like, Lord, what should we do? Keep in mind, if you go back and read, you will realize that them trying to punish her, it wasn't even really about her. It says that they, in verse 6, they were using the questioning as a trap in order to accuse Jesus, not even to accuse her. That's why I told y'all that word condemnation also means accusation. Okay. And so we see that they're like, what should we do? The law of Moses, like, how you telling Jesus what the law of Moses said? And so the law of Moses said that any woman who is caught in such an act, she must be stoned. What do you say? Right? And his response is, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And you see one by one, immediately they begin to leave until there's nobody left. And when Jesus is like, oh, nobody condemned you, and nobody had. And he says, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Here's the issue with secret sin, y'all. And this ain't even in my notes, but the issue with secret sin, we don't even get this opportunity right here. Right? When we're trying to hide our sin, right? When we're trying to not be exposed, when we're trying to avoid consequences and all of these things, we begin to hide our sin. Right? She didn't get that opportunity. She immediately began to deal with accusation, criticism, threats of death. And Jesus is like, oh, did anybody condemn you? Neither do I. Go and sin no more. But guess what? When we don't get that opportunity for God to say that to us immediately after because we're trying to hide the sin, now we have to continue to experience the condemnation. We have to continuously experience, you know, that accusation, the criticism. When Jesus really is just trying to tell you, I don't condemn you either. Just don't do it no more. And so just like freedom was available to the woman caught in the act of adultery, it is also available to you. Just as Jesus did not condemn her for her sin, he won't charge you. But there's things that we must do in order to receive this freedom, right? This woman in the act of adultery, she couldn't run away. She couldn't hide. You didn't see her trying to deny or make excuses. But oftentimes we're trying to hide. We're trying to cover it up with a lie. We're trying to say, well, Lord, but this happened. Well, this happened because of this. We'll be trying to say, well, Lord, they ain't bring dude. Because if I was caught in the act of adultery, that means he got caught too. She wasn't out there saying, but Jesus, what about him? She sat there, humiliated, embarrassed, all the things. And so one of the things that I learned from this experience was that Jesus is not a condemning God. And the Bible tells us this, but sometimes you have to just experience things for yourself. Condemnation does not come from God. And that's super simple, y'all, right? God literally desires to see us delivered and set free from shame and guilt so we can walk into his promises and fulfill his purpose for our life. But deep inside me, I believe no matter how much I pray or ask for forgiveness, I would never fully be forgiven. I didn't realize the intentionality of God like I do now. I didn't realize the simplicity it would take for me to walk into total freedom. And guess what? If God isn't a condemning God, the Bible tells us in Revelation 12. Now we're talking about Revelations already, right? We're talking about how in the book of Revelation 12:11 says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, right? But if you go to, let's just go to Revelation chapter 12:10-11, right? And so right before it talked about how we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, in verse 10, and I'm going to go to the New King James Version really quickly, because that's my jam right there, NKJV. In verse 10, it says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. So right before it talks about how we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, it gives us this word accuser. It tells us who the accuser of the brethren is. It tells us that this here Satan, it says he stands before God day and night accusing us, accusing men. And we know that accusation is another word for condemnation. Judgment is another word for condemnation. And so here we see that Satan is literally trying to standing before God day and night, and he's literally just throwing accusations. Oh, but God, look at what this person doing. Look at what they did. Oh, but guess what? We see that in the story of Job. Well, Lord, the only reason why he's so faithful to you is because you blessed him with all these good things. If you take these things away, he'll curse you. Accusations. And so we have to be mindful of condemnation. We have to understand what it is. We must even understand what it looks like so that we can acknowledge, like, oh yeah, I am actually dealing with condemnation. There are lies that I believe about myself. There are lies that I even believe about others, because sometimes the accusation and the condemnation isn't even about you. It's about the people who you're called to be connected with. It's the destiny helpers. So Satan will have you believing lies by accusing the people who are assigned to help you get to your next level in your life. But because of the lens that you're looking at it from, but because of your inability to stand on the truth of God's word because you don't know it, or because of sin, now here you are separating yourself from the very people you're supposed to be connected to reach your next level. So even when it comes to forgiveness, we know that unforgiveness is also a fruit from abortion that is produced after abortion. And it's not only from abortion, but there's so many different things. But one, after you've had an abortion, you deal with unforgiveness, whether that's yourself, somebody else, whatever. And so one thing you will see, and then I'm about to wrap this up. One thing you will see that when it comes to this unforgiveness, even with the example I just used, the enemy will spew out accusations against people. People who are called to help you. People who are assigned to your life to benefit you. If you are in a certain place, the enemy will cause you to believe the lie and the accusations so that you can be offended, so that you can not forgive. And so then you'll find yourself struggling with unforgiveness. And eventually, unforgiveness will cause you to separate yourself from that person. It will cause you to leave a ministry because of offense. It will cause you to do certain things. And then you realize, like, man, right in the middle of your deliverance process, right in the middle of your healing process, right in the middle where God was putting you in a season of consecration, the enemy crept in, right? The enemy crept in and spoke a lie or caused you to believe a certain thing. He manipulated the truth a little bit. And because of your offense, because of your lack of character, because of your no understanding of having the word of God, now you're gone. Now you're out of place. Now you're isolated. And we have to be aware that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. If he's sitting there throwing accusations at people in front of God day and night, how much more you? But this ain't on my notes either. So I hope y'all were blessed. If you are, be sure to share. Make sure you go and order the book Silent Shame off of Amazon. And next time we will be talking about vulnerability and the dangers of secret sin. So I'll see y'all in the next one. Bye.